Hello, welcome to How I Got Arrested. In the beginning, I said I wanted to do these somewhat on the daily, but because of everyday challenges, it looks like I'll have to scale that back a little bit. So for now, I'll try to bring you new episodes at least bi-weekly, if not a little more frequently from time to time. Again, if you like what you hear, please share with a friend or family member. Word of mouth is the best advertisement, and I would love to be able to turn this into something that I can support myself on full-time one day. All right. Thanks a lot. Welcome to How I Got Arrested. My name is Arish Rivers. I'm a real-life bail agent living in California, and I'll be bringing you stories about people and how they ended up in police custody. Some of the stories you hear may still be pending cases, and are stories about how people ended up in custody, not necessarily anything about their guilt or innocence. All right, if you like what you hear, please share with a friend or family member. I would really like to be able to do this full time instead of, well, I like my day job, but, hey, nothing wrong with new scenery. Okay, with that, let's dive in. So, honestly, it's been a while. I've been busy, and people have stayed getting arrested, which keeps me busy, which is a good thing. So, to make up for it, I'll bring you a couple of stories, maybe kind of a double whammy or so. But as I sit here in my driveway, rushing home to record a new episode for you guys, who knows? I might get a little bit of business. Let me know if this is tacky. I come around the corner, there's a family arguing with each other on their porch. And this is clearly a domestic violence situation. Not necessarily anybody getting hurt, but eventually somebody's going to call the cops and they'll make an arrest for domestic violence. Would it be tacky for me to throw my business card at them before the cops show up? I mean, I know it'll be tacky, sort of, but it could help them out, so means to an end type of thing. I guess that justifies, I don't know. But anyway, let's dive in with a couple of stories here. It's summertime, and that means a lot of people are traveling. And what are some of the favorite travel tips? Pack some sunscreen, take cash, look for deals online. I want to add one to that list. And it's check for warrants. Now, I get it. You live a pretty steady life. You don't stay in trouble with the law. Maybe you've never been in trouble. But it wouldn't hurt to do a quick warrant check just before you take off, because you never know when maybe something you neglected in the past ended up snowballing into something much worse. One of the first examples was a guy... Honestly, I forget his name. I feel bad about that. I just saw the kid last week. But he and his friends basically do the whole, large-scale festival route. And, they're gaffers for the shows. So they had to come from Ohio out to California. Now, this guy's friends decided that they wanted to see the scenery and take a drive all the way from Ohio out to California to do this job. I don't remember which music festival might have just passed by, but that was their job. And then they also did have to make sure to go back home to get to work for the next one. Now, our subject in question decides that he doesn't want to drive, so he decides to fly. And I'm still trying to wrap my brain around this one. At some point, somehow... And maybe things have changed, I don't know. But he heard that you did not need to take your ID to get onto an airplane. So that's exactly what he did. And somehow, from Ohio, he was actually able to board a plane without his ID. The downside is going back home was a little rough, and people in California are maybe not as forgiving. I guess whatever arrangement he had was still going to allow him on the plane, but his conversation got the attention of TSA. And so they asked him to step out of the line. And basically they searched him, I guess maybe because of what had been said during his conversation. And they found like a bunch of weed actually just tucked away on the kid. So out here, we're not really too upset about weed. I mean, it's basically legal, right? Statewide, not federally, but or nationally, but hey. They found a bunch of weed on this guy, and they arrested him on charges of trying to transport and sail across state lines. That kind of sucks. That one definitely sucks. But what was even worse was that he actually had a warrant. And it was from something totally stupid, benign, something you would totally toss out of your mind at some point. If I remember correctly, it was for a traffic ticket that he just never took care of. And then, of course, you know, the kid was gone for years out of the state, and he just never really been in trouble. So that snowballed, and that got him in trouble. So before you travel, check for warrants. That one's not too bad, but this next story is about a lady who's actually from Florida. Now, it's not often I get to help out people who are not from the state, but every now and then I get a few. Florida, England, most recently, and my Scottish friend. I don't know if you're still listening, but it was an absolute pleasure helping you out. Oh, and the Irish guy. You and your girlfriend were awesome. I loved being able to help you guys. I'm sure you're tuned in, but I can't give his name away because he's a cop out in Ireland. So, yeah. Long story short, they're in a hotel room. They got a little sauce. They got a little loud. Somebody called the police. Domestic violence call. And it's hard to do a bail when you are supposed to be going home to another country the next day. Not a lot of bail companies want to mess with you. Either way, got that taken care of. Okay. So going back to our girl from Florida. I guess we're going to have to back up a little bit here. Let's introduce a character, and we're going to call her Palo Alto Patty. So, at one point, our Florida lady was working for Palo Alto Patty as a nanny, while our lady's son attended college out here in town. So they stuck around for a couple of years, and I guess Palo Alto Patty really took a liking to our lady in question. But as things go, the relationship ran its course, and our lady in question did have a boyfriend who lived in Guatemala. Now, this guy is no, you know, sit on the side of the road scratching his head type of, you know, type of cat from out of the country. This guy's got money. Turns out he and his mom operate a shrimp farm. Who knew? I had no idea we got shrimp from Guatemala, but it's big business. So anyway, our lady in question, and I don't have her name, I'm not going to give it out, but let's just call her Flora. I guess, derivative of Florida, I just dropped a letter. Yeah, more or less. Okay, so Flora. Anyway, Flora travels back and forth between Guatemala and Palo Alto Patty's house. Most of the time, she's going down there to work on her boyfriend's shrimp farm. Just kind of help out because his mom is getting old and they don't have as many hands to help. But also to chip away at the complicated maze that, well, applying for U.S. citizenship can be. Spoiler alert. They got married, the dude's a citizen, ha ha ha, whoever doesn't like it, too bad. And he's got dual citizenship, so he still goes back home, runs his shrimp farm, and doubles down on the cash. So, anyways, between all this going back and forth, Palo Alto Patty and Flora's relationship soured. And the downside of that is that Palo Alto Patty did a lot of favors for Flora, including giving her a company card with a really high spending limit on it. I mean, you look at this and that is really generous. But the relationship split. Flora went to Florida and she moved up her guy, and that was it. She continued her life in Florida. And never had to go anywhere because Shrimp Farm was doing good. She has her new husband. And a couple years later, they decide that they all want to take a cruise. So they decide to board a ship to Puerto Rico. And unfortunately, Flora gets arrested boarding the ship. And she's being accused of grand theft, identity theft, and forgery. Now, those are some pretty serious charges out here in California. I guess the bigger question is, for her, is how she even had charges from California when she hadn't lived here for a few years. So the story is still a little muddled and still a little blurry. I don't have all the exact particulars. But basically what happened is, after Flora left the employ of Palo Alto Patty, Flora continued to use her credit card, as it was in her name. I mean, it was issued under the company, but it was under her name, and she paid her bills. But Palo Alto Patty decided she didn't want this card floating around out there. So I guess at some point she had demanded all the credit card payment in full. Now, Flora made good money being Palo Alto Patty's nanny, but not that good. And her take from the shrimp farm was not super strong. I mean, it was good. Even by Bay Area standards in California, she makes good money. But that was a lot of money all at once. I mean, she had thousands of dollars on there. I think she managed to rack up about $17,000 of credit card debt. And she was paying it off. Everything was paid on time, and she made large payments. She had knocked out a really good chunk of it by the time this case had come about. So that was the deal. Flora just decided she was going to use the card and keep paying it off. Palo Alto Patty was definitely not happy about that. So she filed a police report. And a couple years later, you know, Flora's boarding a ship to go to Puerto Rico, and she gets arrested. Now, it took some hoops getting her out of there. And you know what? I'm really proud of myself for this one. To be able to bail her out required all sorts of stuff. I mean, you got somebody who's living out of state. They have some serious charges, identity theft, forgery, grand theft. Those are usually not the types of charges that inspire bail companies to be enthusiastic about helping someone get out of jail. You know, put up money in their name with the hope that they'll handle business and not end up costing everybody. So, to make things worse, Flora actually bailed out of jail in Florida, came to California to handle her case out here, and showed up in court. And she got arrested in court. And that's really where I came in throughout the day. But for whatever reason, she had decided to rent a car and drive all the way over here. So most of my day was really about trying to make sure the rental car was situated, so that way she didn't catch any charges for a stolen vehicle. FYI, if you rent a car and you decide to keep it a little longer, don't just call the rental company and hope that it's okay. That's one of the most common ways I bail out people being charged with, car theft. Or, if you want to be specific about it, unauthorized use or possession of a vehicle. But bottom line is, just do yourself a favor and go to the nearest branch if you can. And do some paperwork. Get some names, get some signatures. And then get your extension. I get it. Some people like to keep rental cars a little long. Everybody has a different walk. But anyways, she decides she does want to bail out after we decide to get the rental car situated. But the downside is she's from out of town. She doesn't know where anything is at. So I ask her, well, what parking garage are you in? And she goes, I don't know. She just says, it's the court parking garage. Now, the city I work in is a downtown area, and it's pretty nice. But there are a lot of parking garages within walking distance. So at that point, it's just nothing to do but start from, well, square one and see what happens from there. I went to the jail, and I was able to pull this lady's property. So at which point, I had access to, you know, her clutch and a car key. Not a lot to go on, especially because her clutch didn't have anything in it, just a couple of dollars, some makeup, but nothing really identifying about her. So I can't shortcut this. I have to go find the car. So let's put this into a deductive realm, I guess. We have a woman from out of town coming for a court date. She doesn't know where she is. So chances are she's going to be parked fairly close to the courthouse. So I chose the parking garage that was closest to the courthouse. Next up, this lady has a good amount of money, which means that she knows to dress up for court, which means that she's probably going to be wearing some nicer shoes. That said, I'm sure she's going to be parked in a spot that didn't require her to walk too far to the stairs or the elevator, because nobody likes walking through a parking garage on, you know, 6-inch heels. That's just asking for trouble. So I go into the parking garage and I figured, okay, it's got to be near a staircase, but the garage is 5 floors. And despite it being 6 p.m., there are way too many cars parked there. I can't check for a bunch of out-of-state license plates because, well, it's California and we get a lot of tourism out here. So that's out. But she drove across the country. It's got to be a fuel-efficient car. So that's what we have. Fuel-efficient car, out-of-state plates, close to a stairwell or elevator, probably in the closest parking garage. I went to the middle of the garage, clicked her key, and holy crap, a car responded. At that point, it was just a matter of checking every floor to really narrow down exactly where that car was. But I was actually able to find her car, first choice, in this city where so many options could have been the right one. But yeah, stay in school, kids. Critical thinking is a huge tool and really can help you out a lot. So, full disclosure, as I record this, I'm sat in my car outside of my home. Yeah, sorry guys, I don't do this in a fancy booth. These just kind of happen. And the windows are up and it's fairly warm. So forgive me if these stories get a little interesting. Anyway, we got her out, and the bottom line is, check for warrants before you travel. It's all bad. You know, especially when you're just going on vacation, and you're ready to get away from work, and the stress, and you've booked an awesome hotel room, and everything is planned, everything is ready, you've saved enough money for this trip, you have nothing to worry about, and you get arrested at the gate. And, that's way too late to cancel or change your reservation. So that's a double whammy. You lose all that money for the vacation, and then you gotta pay bail money. And let's hope that, you know, you got arrested with time enough that, maybe you had planned a weekend trip, but now you're stuck in jail for the weekend and you decide to wait for court, but court decides, oh, we're just going to hold you over, or they're going to continue the case for something small and stupid. Believe me, there's lots of ways that dealing with the legal system, note, I no longer call it the justice system, it's the legal system now, a lot of ways that it can snowball on you and end up going south. So, yeah. But we're about 19 minutes into this podcast or so, I'm going to take this moment to just take a break and say how I got arrested is brought to you by Third Crown Skincare. Hint, that's actually my skincare line. I make a skincare line for men and pretty much for all facial types. So check it out, www.thirdcrown.com. Anyways, moving on. Because I took so long to do episodes, I'll bring in another one. Now, the focus here will be about, I guess you could say, protecting yourself. Maybe self-defense. I don't know. We've been messing with this kid who got arrested. Well, I think it was about a week and a half ago. And we got him out. Now, as a bail bondsman, it's really annoying when you jump through a bunch of hoops to get somebody out of jail, especially someone you're really not sure about taking a chance on, because everything out of their mouth sounds like, well, I mean, maybe the lights are on, but nobody's home. You know, not the brightest bulb in the box. That box of rocks. Anyways, we get this kid out, and I forget what it was, a week and a half, whatever, I get a phone call from him, from the jail, and he had been arrested again. So, not the most professional thing, but he calls up, says, hey, I got arrested, and the first words out of my mouth are, dude, what the fuck, really? Yeah, sue me, I know, not the most professional, but every now and then, I can't hide my feelings. I am a human being, and, you know, I'm a little incredulous at times. At some of the things that come my way. So, it turns out, the kid actually delivered, he made good on his promise, he went to court. But for his case, the judge upped the bail by about $215,000. Remanded him. And they also booked him in on a new case, just for kicks. It was close to 4th of July time, and he's one of those kids who has a bunch of M80s. Now look, I love M80s. They're fun to set off. But everybody, there's a time and a place to do that crap. And look, like, be cool about it. Yell something. Give people a heads up. Telegraph that crap just a little bit. Because it is nerve-wracking when it's like 9 p.m. and you're sitting there with a glass of wine or whatever and you just put your kid down and a goddamn quarter stick of dynamite goes off next door. So, just do your neighbors a favor and telegraph the M80 incoming. So, now this kid is looking at a pretty serious case, and he's being charged with assault with a deadly weapon and has a bunch of enhancements. Now, if you don't know what an enhancement is, it's when you get arrested, you catch a case, and it's a punitive measure added to your bail for different reasons, just because. Sometimes you get an enhancement for getting a felony case while already out on bail or OR. Sometimes you get an enhancement for too many of the same charge. Priors, I should specify. Sometimes you get an enhancement just for having been convicted before and you have a strike. Other times, you get it just for association. So, this kid is known by the police to be part of a local gang. You wouldn't know it looking at him, but I guess it's enough that the cops always hit him with an enhancement anytime he gets in trouble. Which, honestly, hasn't been that many times. But every single time, the enhancement's been there, and his bails have been more and more difficult to secure. So, how did he get arrested? Well, he went to court. But what had originally happened is that he and a friend went out and decided to get a couple of drinks. Now, when I first heard that, I thought they went to a bar and got drunk. But no, in this case, I guess when you're 24 years old, live at home, do nothing with your life, getting a couple of drinks just means going down to 7-Eleven and getting an icy at 11 p.m. So, he and his friend are at the 7-Eleven, and a couple of guys walk in, and, I suppose there was some amount of recognition, because these guys started barking and talking a lot of crap. Now, our defendant and his friend understand that they're pretty outmatched here, outnumbered, and it is a couple of people from, you know, a rival gang. But according to his lawyer and the clerk who were working at the 7-Eleven at the time, I was working at the 7-Eleven, I should say, our defendant and his friend tried to leave the store and, you know, not engage. Some words were exchanged, of course, you know, everybody's flashing gang signs and, you know, shouting cross streets and everything like that. I thought we were done gangbanging in, like, 1998 at the latest, but, I guess there's a cabal of people who still think it's cool. I don't know. Hint, those are the cats who grew up in the same town, never left, and thought their job at Costco was, like, the greatest thing in the world. I'm not knocking people who work at Costco. Thank you for your service. I appreciate all of your alacrity in your job so that we all don't murder each other in a warehouse. And, you know, one person emerges with, like, this giant ham hock and claims themselves champion of a new subterranean totalitarian government based on ritualistic combat inside of a warehouse. Anyways, I forgot where I was. It doesn't matter. Bottom line is, these guys stepped out and the gangbanging thing, I guess, happened. They continued talking crap in a parking lot until a fight broke out. Now, by all accounts, our defendant was unarmed. And he actually kept his mouth shut. He didn't instigate. He didn't engage. He just wanted to have his icy and leave. But, man, the fight breaks out. And at some point during the fight, somebody had gotten cut with a box cutter. Now, okay, that's another thing I'm going to touch on here. A box cutter? Really? Maybe I'm just sounding like the old guy here, and, you know, hawking on a new generation or whatever, but a fucking box cutter? Dude, I remember when I was a kid, people used to actually just walk around with knives. I mean, they weren't even big sometimes. You could just walk into a liquor store and buy a knife, like an actual knife. Who walks around with a box cutter? I mean, and really, is that really the most safe or discreet thing? I mean, my box cutter at home slides open all the time. It's not the greatest. I've used it a lot, but, yeah, I don't want that in my pocket. Come on. That's, well, maybe I'll just relax. There's a lot to be said for a lot of, Darwin Award recipients, and sometimes we got a couple of sleeper cells who, you know, nominees for the front runner coming from the back. So anyway, box cutter. Somebody got cut. And the cops rolled up just as our defendant is swinging for the fences with his fists. So, funny enough, nobody runs away except for his friend. His friend leaves him and just disappears. So, I'm pretty sure our defendant was of the mind that, you know, he and his friend were probably ride or die. You know, whatever his friend's going to be there, he'll be right there with him. If people are going to get down on the street, he'll get down right there with them. If it's coming to blows, he's going to be, you know, throwing blows too. But, with friends like that, I mean, goddamn, that sucks. So anyways, his bail is super high. He got arrested on all that stuff. New charges. His total bail is set for $260,000. And he's a young kid. He just turned 24. And, well, he's not doing much with life, but he's doing something. No kid, has a girlfriend, lives at home with mom, dad's dead, whatever. But sometimes you just, you all got to be aware of your surroundings, because protecting yourself is never really easy like you think it is. It's never as simple as you think it is. In a lot of cases, protecting yourself can even get you into trouble, if not just give you a pretty gnarly headache of dealing with the red tape. But I suppose the best thing you can do is just try to be situationally aware and try not to engage anything that comes your way. I'm not saying don't acknowledge what comes your way. It's always good to acknowledge those types of things because it helps you from being a victim. It helps stop you from being a victim. And if anything, if it's unavoidable, at least you won't be blindsided, not completely. But hopefully my efforts tonight can help the young man get out of jail, because despite the gang association that's on record, he actually seems to be a pretty simple guy. He wakes up, he goes to work, he comes home, he hangs out with his girlfriend, maybe has a beer or two. He might be gang associated, but there's nothing that actually says he's in a gang and actually taking part of everything gang members do. I think he's old enough to realize that, you know, gangbanging isn't cool anymore. Yeah, I get it. Like, there's probably a couple of people who will hear this, and they might take offense to it, because, yeah, I'm laughing at the whole gangbanging thing. Like, really, man? Calling out a couple of cross streets, you know, Evergreen and Woods, sucker. Yeah, fine, whatever, man. Like, is that... are you just that proud of the shitty block that you live on? Because, don't worry, I'm not going to go to your block. You're not going to catch me on your side of town. It sucks. I got no reason to go there. I mean, unless you got that bodega who, you know, can get down with the best donuts, or that little mom and pop Chinese place, which is just amazing. But other than that, your side of town sucks, dude. Let's be honest. I got no reason to go over there, so you got no reason to be begging and calling out stuff and flashing signs, because, really, I've just got better things to do. But anyways, guys, I hope you enjoyed some of those stories. I'll be completely honest with you, this is probably one of my less focused episodes. I'm still in my car. It's warm. It's late at night. I've had a really long day, but I still wanted to get this out to you because, well, I promised that I would put something out for you at some point, and even that promise was a little delayed. So I figured, why not a long episode, little bonus, traffic driving by, the sound of airplanes flying over in the flight path that I live in, which, if you can help it, try to avoid living in a direct flight path. It's kind of rough. Oh, and my neighbors. There's a cop car down the corner. His lights are off, but there's only one unit. I'm guessing things probably worked out okay. I don't know. I'll find out. To be honest, I live on a street that, like, tons of my clients in the past either lived on or still live on. I don't know if that's some kind of weird, almost creepy stalkerish thing, knowing that I know a bunch of the people who actually live on this block, and I have a bunch of their information stored in a file cabinet, and I know the cases that they have and just way too much about them. And they have no idea who I am, because I was just some bail agent who helped them out, you know, last year or whatever. So, that's got to be creepy on some level, right? I mean, don't worry, I'm never going to do anything with that information. I think it's time to move, because this is just weird. But with that, I'm going to end this episode. I've got several more shifts coming up at work, especially over the weekend, and things are getting warmer. You know what warm weather means? Dumb assery. That means more DUIs, more domestic violence, more assaults, more people getting arrested, and some of these are really out there. I mean, compared to the stuff that's come my way in the last few weeks, man, I gave you guys a tame one. And you know what? Why not? Let me toss one more at you. About protecting yourself. And especially in the new era of the Me Too movement. Now, before I dive into this, I'm not commenting one way or the other on the Me Too movement. I have my opinions about it. You have yours. Mine might be better. They might be worse. You might not like mine. It doesn't matter. The point is, the movement exists, and it has changed the way a lot of people interact. So I'm not going to dive into too many details because I guess they're ultimately irrelevant. But the gist of how this guy got arrested, another lesson. Hey, fellas, don't mess with married people. Ladies, don't mess with married people. Leave it alone. You're not invited. You're going to ruin something. And things just get way worse, believe me. I'm not speaking from experience, but I'm speaking from the observational standpoint that has never let me down on any of my expectations when you guys start messing with married people. So anyways, long story short, work function, yay! There's a party going on, and this guy ends up hooking up with a woman that he's been having an affair with. Or I should say, she's been having an affair with him. But anyways, what happens? Her husband shows up to the party and walks in on the defendant. And, you know, that guy's wife is right in the middle of the act. So what does any self-respecting guy, you know, caught mid-humping another dude's wife do? He covers up his junk and runs out the door. Well, that doesn't leave very much explanation to be said, and this lady tried to save face. So what did she say? Oh my god, I've had some drinks, and he came on to me, and he's raping me. Okay, so that's where you went with that immediately. And really, people, if you get caught in any kind of compromising situation like that, just own up to it, because I get it. It's tough to own up to things like that, and nobody likes to have egg on their face. But the shitstorm of stuff that comes after you start spewing BS is so much worse than just, you know, taking your medicine in the beginning. So anyway, this happens, and now there's a warrant out for this guy. You know, for rape, for forcible rape while intoxicated. That is a way serious charge. That is how you ruin somebody's life. Ladies, especially, because, and it's not just you, like, believe me, it's not just you, but goddammit, you are the more prominent demographic of people to claim this. Now, yes, things like this unfortunately do legitimately happen. And people do get violated. It sucks. We're human beings. We're terrible creatures. And in those situations, please don't hesitate. Speak up. Get help. Don't hide it. It's not your fault. Don't feel ashamed. It's the asshole who committed the crime. But look, if there really was no crime, and it takes two to tango, everybody was into it, don't use rape as your excuse. It will come back tenfold. Way worse for everybody. So anyway, going back to this guy after he ran out of the party holding his junk and you know, people screaming in the next room. There's a warrant out for him, but he doesn't know this. He basically just cut all communication with the lady because he's really embarrassed and her husband probably wants to murder him. So what's the next best thing you do in this situation? You tell the pretty girl at the next party that you're chatting up about this situation. Oh, such a crazy situation. I can't believe this happened to me. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, my word of advice, buddy, that's not an ice-breaking conversation. You know? Oh, hey, I'm being accused of rape and blah, blah, blah. And just hang out. Yeah, that doesn't really break the ice in a good way. But, I guess he's just that suave or whatever it is. I don't know, man. Maybe he's got Sex Panther or something, because, you know, 90% of the time, it works 60% of the time, or whatever, but he ends up hooking up with this girl, and when they're finished, she says, okay, that was great, now pay me, and our guy is not necessarily into the whole hooker thing, so he refuses to pay her, because he thought it was a mutual thing. He thought it was cool. He refuses to pay her. She says, pay me or I'm going to do to you what that other lady did. Well, this guy knows that it was a consensual act. There's no way he's going to get in trouble. So he tells her to kick rocks, and they go their separate ways. Now, the downside about that is you don't want to call somebody's bluff if you maybe don't have something to follow up with, or maybe a witness or something, because she files a police report, and then there's another warrant out for him for rape. Now he looks like a serial rapist. And looking like a serial rapist is not a good thing. So he gets arrested and thrown into jail later on because, well, I mean, he's not in exile. He's not hiding out. He's fairly easy to find. It was just a matter of waiting for him to come home. And that's how he got arrested. But don't worry. Eventually, one of the ladies came clean and, said that she was just blackmailing the guy. So that case got dropped. And then about, 60 days later, at another court date, the other rape case was dropped. So, lucky for him, that guy got off scot-free, no problems. And as far as I know, he's not a rapist. He just has a problem keeping his jimmy in his pants for, you know, more than 2 weeks at a time. Maybe a bad taste in women, too. So, two lessons there. Three lessons. One, protect yourself. Don't put yourself in compromising situations that could get you in trouble. Two, don't mess with married people. It's just not worth it. And, you know, really, it's, dude, you probably find something way better that you don't have to sneak around with and deal with all the stress and everything like that. I mean, if you've never cheated on anybody, just listen to John Legend's Let's Get Lifted. That entire album is basically an ode to cheating, and you can feel the stress oozing off of somebody who is being unfaithful to their spouse or other. And three, goddammit, just keep it in your pants for a night, all right? Like, before you go out, have a game plan. Are you going out to get laid? If that's the case, prepare, get ready, strap up, and just kind of have an exit strategy and make sure that, you're not going to be, that there's just not a lot of ways that you can fall into a hole and get stuck there. Other than that, you know, hey, just, I don't know, keep it in your pants, dude. I've been in this car for way too long. It's getting warm. Oxygen possibly getting low. I am getting lightheaded, but that might just be because I'm sleepy. So I hope you guys enjoyed that last part. It was a nice little bonus. I will try to have another episode for you guys fairly soon. I can't guarantee exactly when. That's the downside. But yeah, share any of the How I Got Arrested episodes with friends and family. As always, I would love to be able to do this full time and support myself with it. At which point, I should be able to go ahead and make a few more professional-sounding recordings, maybe hire some help, some editors, and not basically have to ramble at you through a microphone in my car for 45 minutes. Oh, and I can also make a regular episode release schedule. That's a big thing. All right, but thank you very much, everybody, for listening. You can always find How I Got Arrested podcast at facebook.com/gotmeonsomeBS. Again, that's facebook.com/gotmeonsomeBS. Just look for the black circle with the handcuffs. We're pretty easy to find. All right. Until next time, everybody be easy.